This is the Jason and Alexis Show podcast, presented by our delightful friends at the Freehouse.
Look for new menu items like their better-for-you comfort foods, including the tuna poke bowl and spaghettini primavera, plus seasonal favorites like the new maple grain salad, beef stroganoff, and carrot cake.
Lex and Dawn, we are going to have a happy hour at the Lowry. How does that sound?
Amazing.
Okay, they have, you know, they still have their comfort foods like the steak and pierogies. They have the Nashville fried chicken sandwich, but they have new things as well.
Ooh, like what?
Well, and they're better for you new things. Did you hear that, Dawn?
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, they're calling it new, better for you comfort foods like a tuna poke bowl, which I love, a spaghettini primavera.
Ooh, yum. I'm going to try that.
I know. Lex, let's Lady and the Tramp that.
Ooh, yes.
Who's the tramp?
Ew.
Well, we'll let them figure that out. And then after all of that, you can try the carrot cake. Lex, I know you love a carrot cake.
I love carrot cake, and I cannot wait to try theirs because everything there is so good.
And Dawn, you can have like a spoonful.
Okay, great.
Dine with them, make reservations, do takeout all at thelowryuptown.com.
Good morning, everybody. I am not Jason Matheson. I might be a little different than him this morning. I am Friday Fun. I am Stephanie Hansen. And I am here with Dawn. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
And Kenny. Kenny, are you out there?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, friend. How are you guys?
Doing okay.
I know. I have been lonely for my talk morning friends.
Oh, that's sweet. We've been lonely for you.
It's been, I have so many stories to catch you guys up on.
Oh, good, good.
Oh,
we need it. Yeah, we're tired of hearing ourselves talk, right, Kenny?
Oh, my God. Please, fill 3 hours, Steph. Start talking. All I'm going to say is yes, no, and huh.
Oh, well, that, come on, you got to have a little bit more for me than that. You guys, I moved since I've been on before.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, you have to like plan differently for this show because you got to get your clothes out and you try to respect your partner still sleeping. The dog is like, what the heck? This isn't the time we get up. So I went to bed a little early last night and just getting up in the dark. And I have this house where every light switch is switched, if you know what that means. So it connects to something that would be like a lamp, or there's no like built-in lights anywhere.
And oh, I don't... you mean outlets are switched?
Yes.
Okay.
And so you click the light switch and it goes to nothing.
No, my gosh.
And we don't have a lot of lamps. So
you're stumbling around in the dark is what you're saying.
I am a lot.
Yeah.
A real lot. I also am back. Not back. I'm not in the city necessarily. I'm in the suburbs, first ring suburbs, I guess, but suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also encountering things like deer and fox. Last night, something was crinkling around in the leaves underneath my window.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so at 2:30, I'm up like Gladys Kravitz, you know, poking out the window, trying to figure out what it is that's out there.
Well, did you see anything?
Why? Why not just let it be?
Because I want to make sure it's not some creeper trying to get in the window or something.
Some person, right.
You know, it could be anything. Turned out.
Steph.
You missed me, Kenny, didn't you?
Turns out it was a critter.
Yes. It's funny. It's funny that you're laughing because you're probably like, why would she think it would be a creeper? Like, it was, though. There's a deer that I'm not a hunter person, so Kenny might have to help me here. They have some hairy horns, furry horns, felty
hairy horns.
Not anymore. The bucks have, most of them have scraped all the velvet off their horns. But they're in the rut right now, or the rut is just wrapping up. So one of their deals
is the rut the sexy time?
Yeah, yeah, it's spring break for deer.
All right, well, this is making sense.
So the buck will scrape the ground with their front hooves and clear out an area. And then with their antlers, they scrape up against trees, and they're called rubs. So they rub a tree, and they'll rub the bark right off a tree.
Yeah, I've got a rubber.
Yeah.
I've got a friend who's coming into my little yard and rubbing his junk, his horn junk, on my pine tree.
Yeah.
And he's rubbing the bark off.
Yes. Oh. No, that's what they do. They're marking their territory for other bucks, so other buck know to stay away. And then they're also letting the ladies around know, hey, I'm available. Come on over.
Yeah, this is my yard where we can have some sweet love making.
The funniest story. Yeah, yeah. So I was telling my niece, who's in sixth grade, about that this deer has been coming. Because I'm trying to figure out, like, do I need to save this tree? I don't know. And she goes, oh, did you hear about what happened a couple days ago? We woke up and there was two deer in the yard and we were looking at them and all of a sudden they started doing it. And I was like, whoa. What? Doing what? She goes, it. They were doing it. I was like, what is it? And she goes, you know what it is. Don't make me tell you. So
that's hilarious.
They watched like you do.
Of course.
She's actually very, very lucky. It's rare to see that.
Okay, Kenny, because they ended up falling over.
Whoa.
And then like rolling down. They live on the Rum River, I guess, up in Anoka. And they kind of fell down the embankment out of the yard, down the river. Down into the river valley part.
Well, I'm sure in your younger days you might have fallen off the bed or pushed the bed across the room. It happens.
Falling down to the shower, whatever.
Yeah, it happens.
You guys, I have a
dislocated your shoulder, and, you know.
Yeah,
I just,
Don knows.
We bought a platform bed when we moved, and it's so low to the ground. My first thought was, well, if I get out of bed and have any trouble, I don't have far to fall.
Right.
Oh, it was about getting out of bed.
Yes. I get it. Not falling out, not having good it time.
It.
She
you
was
don't
like,
make
you know,
me say it.
It's it. They was doing it.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, she's lucky. She got to see something rare. Not a lot of people have seen that, and not a lot of people have seen bucks fighting. If you hear a loud commotion in the backyard that sounds like gang warfare, it might be a couple of bucks going at it, fighting each other.
Okay. All right. See?
Yeah.
This is why I'm getting up at 2:30 in the morning and prowling around trying to figure out what's happening.
Oh, my gosh.
The suburbs are a very different place.
Yeah, you're used to city life. You were in St. Paul.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, my bedroom window was literally right on the street.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, people coming and going at all hours. We lived by a bunch of restaurants. And I mean, honestly, I can go days without seeing anybody. It's a little strange.
Do you like it?
Isn't that nice?
I'd like it right now.
Okay.
I think I like it. It's super quiet.
Okay.
So that's all interesting. Yeah, I think I like it. I grew up in a kind of suburban woodsy spot.
Okay.
And never thought I would go back, but, you know, never say never. Here
but
we are.
You're not completely new to it. You have a place out in the country. I mean, way out in the country.
I do have a place way out in the country. And I have, we were there, I guess last week for a couple of days. And there were a few deer we saw. We have a pine marten on our property. And they're so cute. They're like little bear faces.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're real cute. So, yes, we've been having nature time since I moved.
I watch a lot of Alaska shows, and they really love hunting and trapping those pine marten. They get a lot for their hides.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so you and Kurt have something in common. Do you watch that Alaska show with the annoying woman who's always getting her cabin prepared because the winter's coming, and she's just she just does terrible things. She always screws it up.
There's so many Alaska shows out there. I haven't watched one in at least 6 months. So
okay, because this lady really gets on my last nerve.
That's why we watch shows like this.
Well,
reality shows is because we hate watch them.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do we?
Kenny, what's the one that you watched that they finally found the treasure or something?
They didn't find it, or at least they're not alluding to it. But I watched 3 hours of it last night. I came back into Minneapolis yesterday, and I sat down and got deeply involved with my DVR, and it's The Curse of Oak Island.
Oh.
And I wasn't even 90 seconds in, and I was screaming and yelling and cursing at the TV.
Well, I have slated for the show that you're going to talk about that at the top in about an hour here at the top of seven.
Okay.
So don't blow your wad yet.
All right.
I don't know if we could call it The Curse of Oak Island or The Curse of Eyebrows, because one of these guys, well, I'll save it.
Is it an eyebrow war?
His eyebrows are driving me. Oh, he combs them up.
Okay.
We can get that.
I've got eyebrow feels, and we will share them, because I'm watching a show with Donald Sutherland, and the eyebrows... I mean, this is part of the manscape, right?
Yeah,
I couldn't just let my chin hair grow.
I just trimmed him. I gave him a haircut and then just trimmed his eyebrows 2 days ago. Like, it's a thing.
Yes, it is a thing. Well, and everyone needs coiffing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the older you get, the faster they grow.
It's
and
so
I understand.
True.
I understand if, like, the guy on Oak Island... if they get a little long and he doesn't get to them, but this guy is grooming them and combing them straight up, and it makes him look like a devil. It's just awful. You don't do this with your eyebrows. You cut them down.
Okay,
get them under control.
We're gonna take a break, and I'm gonna research this online so I can see this.
What's his name, Kenny?
This would be Rick Lagina.
Okay. Rick Lagina, Curse of Oak Island eyebrows.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Well, we have a lot to talk about today because we are in the restaurant lockdown. So we'll talk about that when we come back on the Jason and Alexis show. I'm Stephanie Hansen filling in for Jason, Alexis with Dawn and Kenny. We'll be back. Oh, Madonna. Madonna giving us Papa Don't Preach in our flashback. I love all these songs when they flashback on Saturdays. Stephanie and I, we talk about where we were when we first heard the song. Papa Don't Preach was a big MTV video song for me.
Totally.
Yeah. So very exciting. Hello. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We've got a great show planned for today. We were just talking about manscaping. Eyebrows. The important men's grooming tips. I have to say, Kenny.
Yeah.
I know you're going to talk me through this. And Don, your guy is like very, I don't want to say he's fastidious, but he's very put together. He's very clean.
Yeah.
My guy is clean.
Mm-hmm.
My guy will bathe at least twice a day because he's a shower in the morning and a bath at night.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But I just have to say the home wear. The home attire.
Yeah.
Months in, I'm feeling like, and I guess I should speak for myself too, because I'm no prize over at the old Golden Valley Manor.
Okay.
But the outfits that are getting a little long in the tooth.
So he's not getting dressed.
I mean, he gets dressed, but I think his standards are slipping.
Sweatpants or jeans?
Well, it starts with sweatpants, but they're the kind, he thinks they're nicer than sweatpants because they don't have the cinching at the ankle.
Yeah.
They're more like pants.
Sure.
Yeah.
The jeans, you know, used to be that he will only wear 501s, and it used to be that he would order them every 6 months. He'd get like a new batch and get rid of the faded, yucky ones or move those up to the cabin. But, like, the cabin clothes and the home clothes are all starting to mingle.
Yeah, you're not seeing different looks.
Wow. No, and I'm not seeing...
You have way higher standards than I do. Wow.
I'm not seeing a look.
I'm
just seeing...
Kurt is like GQ compared to me. Oh, my God. I feel horrible.
Kenny, you gotta try a little...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you have to try a little.
I have three pairs. I think I'm down to three pairs of jeans and two pair of work pants. They're that like gray or a brown, light brown.
Yeah, like the Dickie pants.
Yeah, and both of my work pants is pants I've had to patch up, and now the patches have holes in, and I can't part ways with them, so I still wear them. The cuffs at the bottom are all frayed, and there's danglers. And my jeans, my jeans are neat, and I wash them frequently. I think I wash clothes every single day, so I'm never wearing gross or dirty or stinky jeans.
All right.
But I have the same five pairs of pants that I wear over and over and over again. With work boots, steel-toed work boots.
Okay, well, clearly the wife right now, is a little more understanding.
The roommate lives in Minneapolis, and I live up in farm country, so that's not a problem. she doesn't care anyway. She's fairly awesome where that comes in. Right now, I have on very old sweatpants that do cinch at the ankles.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I just
and they're comfy, and I'm happy.
I know.
Why are you begrudging us happiness?
Well, I'm trying not to, but. We're 9 months into this. Like, it's okay to see a decent shirt every now and then. It's okay to not wear a long sleeve t-shirt every day.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I have on now.
Of course
I have a long sleeve t-shirt on. Yep. It's inside out. And then over I have a gray t-shirt on that's also inside out.
Oh my god.
Why?
Okay. Are you going for the 90s skater boy look? What's going on?
They came off the hanger that way.
I got dressed in the dark and my shirt is facing forward and not inside out.
Sometimes my underwear are inside out. I realize when I get to work, I'm like,
I never do that. I'm really good about that. But the gray t-shirt has a phrase which I consider offensive. It's funny, but offensive, so I don't want anybody to see it. So that's why I wear that.
Okay, you're going to have to text me that during the break, because that sounds funny.
I can tell you what it says, I never do it. It says, cool story, babe. Now go make me a sandwich.
That's hilarious.
And so I don't want anybody to see that because I consider that misogynist and mean. And,
it is, you know,
it's funny as hell, but I just don't want people to see it.
Okay.
Did you buy that yourself or did someone buy it for
you? No, of course not. It was a free t-shirt. I think I got it at the radio station, actually.
Oh, boy.
A free t-shirt? Who's giving out free misogynist t-shirts?
I don't know.
One of the Garage Logic sponsors, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure I got it from a listener. I'm sure it came from a listener.
That's the equivalent of my favorite thing to say on Twitter that I got to say this week, which is, are you still talking?
I feel that about myself. I say that to my own voice.
Yes. Yeah.
You still talking? Can we still hear you?
I was really sort of, I didn't say it to him, but MC, you know, he works from home. So he usually has on the same hoodie, sweatshirt and pajama pants.
Yep.
And the other day he was on a Zoom call that he had to do for this organization that he's in. And he put on jeans and a t-shirt, and I was like, I was like, oh, normal clothes. I mean, we go to the store together, but I don't know what it was. I'm like, oh, it looks like he's going somewhere.
Yeah, exactly, because he changed.
Yeah, I'm like, are we going for a ride?
Like, I'm a puppy.
It's just like, there's nothing to do.
As someone who has been on a few of these Zoom calls, I'm just... Men, step it up. Step it up. Trim the eyebrows. Get a better shirt.
I gave him a haircut. I trimmed his eyebrows.
Step it up, men. All right. And with that, we'll be back. Another one that is just, it gets in your skin and you're like,
you walk around doing that in your head. Yeah.
Before the move, we ordered a Peloton bike.
Oh, really?
We did, thinking, okay, the virus is going on a little bit longer. I really was doing great about getting to the gym 5 days a week. I felt like I was in great shape. I was kickboxing. I was doing all the right stuff.
Before the pandemic?
Yes.
Oh,
and then as the pandemic wore on, I was like, I can exercise at home. Well, that wasn't happening. I was doing virtual videos, but it's not as fun to sit in your
office. And, you know, sometimes I think I said on this show I would just drink coffee and watch them.
Yeah.
So that was my strategy, and it wasn't really
Alexis
working.
Did that too.
Yeah. It's. I think I'm not alone.
She tuned into her friend's Zumba class, and she just
watched. So I got the Peloton bike, and we got it in August, and we moved at the end of October, and all before the move, it was just having things thrown on it, really. It became a coat rack. It became a pajama stand. So finally got it moved, turned it on, got everything ready to go. First class I did was the Beyonce exclusive spin class. And it was excellent. Yes. But of course I haven't been on it since.
Really?
Oh, Dawn, I'm going to.
I'm not a biker. I'm not into spin class. I've tried it just at the gym, and I signed up for like six of them, and then I just find it so incredibly boring.
Yeah.
No matter what they put in front of me or who's yelling at me, just the repetitive. I love an arc trainer.
Yep.
Or an elliptical.
Yep.
Don't really like a treadmill. I don't know. Everybody
has
their preference.
Strength training classes. They have yoga. They have all kinds of things.
On the Peloton?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. And here's a tip. If you don't want to buy the bike, people, you don't have to. You can subscribe to the app and use all the other classes. They have like programs for running. So if you want to run outside, but you want like pre-programmed music and people that they do have very inspiring instructors.
Okay.
Running makes me tired.
And Kenny, remember what you said, was it yesterday, about yoga classes and that they're the stinkiest?
Yeah, don't they just smell like one big fart?
Well, in a gym setting, they can. I will say I have been in a class where people have farted.
Yeah, I bet.
It's super embarrassing for them.
I used to do Pilates and plyo. And
that's why I quit golf. Every time I'd tee off, I'd let a big one rip, and it was just so embarrassing, I had to give it up.
Oh, my gosh,
boy.
Kenny.
Perhaps you should assess your diet. If you can't.
So you would swing.
Play golf. Without
Or I think you should have done that to your opponent, just somebody
comical,
you're golfing with.
No, it was just for me. It was a big comical, like, cartoon fart, too. But I have a question about Peloton.
Thank you for identifying the kind of fart it was. That's real helpful.
These Peloton bikes, do you have to pedal them? Are they motorized? Can you just let your feet follow along?
No, you have to pedal them. What is that show you just sounded like where that old, it was a cartoon or something where it was very ecological and people rode around in these carts that were on, it was some weird Pixar movie or something. That's what you just sounded like, where they had the giant sodas. And they were in carts.
Was it where the people are a little bit large?
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
That's the
second
half
of Wall-E.
That's
what Kenny just sounded like. yes, you need to exert a little effort.
Okay.
Kenny, you get out. Don't you make yourself sound like
man.
Yeah, you make yourself sound like a slug, but you're not.
I do normal like work stuff that's, you know, exhausts you. I don't have to go find a gym and all
Well,
that
the rest of us
go for runs
have
and
to
and all that.
Go for gyms and find runs and reasons to get our butts out of our chairs.
Okay.
It
all
is
right.
I
understand.
I like it though. I mean, I've only done it once, but I really liked it. And after I was over, I was like, yes, I burned 250 calories today.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling good. Then I went and had a beer, which is about 250 calories.
Yes.
So
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about the restaurant restrictions? I know we haven't gotten into that yet and the changes.
I think it's sad that we have certain industries that are really having to do more of their share of heavy lifting because of where the virus apparently occurs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's necessary.
Yes.
I feel sad that some people didn't get the memo early on that we were in a coronavirus situation and there were certain things we could do to mitigate it. And people just had a hard time. I think people are getting their minds around it now, eight months later, in a more collective way.
It's pretty, if you really think about the government telling you to shut down your business,
yeah,
that is real foreign concept and sad and hard. Mm-hmm. A lot of people lost their jobs because the front of the house basically will just get let go and the restaurateurs will either shut down until it's over or they will try to do takeout. And you can do that with a much smaller staff. Keep your management, keep your chefs.
Right.
Yeah. It's brutal, to be perfectly honest. But I also do think it's necessary. I wasn't eating in restaurants. I was doing takeout.
Yeah, same here.
And I was struggling with that because it's I'll be honest. I mean, it's hard to have a radio show where you're talking about the industry and talking about food, and yet you're not going to go in any places.
Right. Oh, gosh.
But I really had made a conscious decision based on my personal health, my husband's, the people that I'm around, that I just couldn't take that risk. Mm-hmm. I think it's changing. I mean, it was one thing to say, okay, you know, like, let's keep our Thanksgiving small, like 10 people or less, three households, fine. And now they're saying, like, you shouldn't even be gathering with anybody outside of your immediate household.
Right.
That's right. For a lot of people, that's a Thanksgiving for two or a Thanksgiving for one.
Right.
And so I'm working on a segment for Jason's show on Monday on TV about, like, what the pivots are and where can you get Thanksgiving for one and what are some other ideas of things you can do. Because people really, it's changed a lot of plans. And, I mean, I don't mean to sound like a wah-wah, but for me, because we're cooks.
Yeah.
My daughter's girlfriend's family is in quarantine because someone has been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to end up cooking for them too. But it's a big wah-wah.
Isn't it? Because of circumstances with, you know, not just to make this about me, but I haven't seen my family since 2018. You know, last year I was going to go home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's when I planned the bulk of my vacation. And of course, not her fault, but Alexis had her baby, so right. I didn't get to go. And then this year, obviously, has been the way it is. And I had planned a day off to go down there. And then I was like, should I go? Should I not? And now I just can't. Now it's like, you can't, and because I'll have to quarantine for 14 days, and we got a note saying we wouldn't be paid.
Yeah.
We had to do that, which I'm like, okay, that's my answer.
Decision. Yeah. They're asking people to not travel.
Mm-hmm.
And companies are saying, hey, if you end up and you did travel or you got exposed and you need to quarantine, there are a few companies that I have heard of that are saying they won't cover those quarantine days.
Right. Well, ours is one of them.
Yeah, because of, I guess, what we would call poor decision making.
Sure. It says you can have the freedom to do whatever you want, but we're not going to pay you if you make that choice.
Yeah. So it's pretty real. And when I saw that, I think it was 1,100 Mayo Clinic technicians, hospital workers mm-hmm. were diagnosed with COVID. And they're not getting it in the hospital. They're getting it in the community setting and the community spread, which means things like schools, sports, restaurants, gyms, just general moving about.
Yeah.
I
think, wow, because, you know, if you work in a hospital and you work at Mayo Clinic that has been on the forefront of this since the get-go, you know that you're being safe. You know that you know what the expectations are of you as an employee. And if it's that rampant spreading there, what chance do the rest of us have other than just to stay home?
That's true. I definitely respect that.
Just a few cases. And I mean, I think if I remember right, less than five where they actually picked it up in the hospital. And I think they determined that was in the break room.
Yeah.
So it means it is in the hospital, but, you know, the break room, that does come as a relief. But yeah, it like you said, I reread and reread that piece, and it's all community spread for them. Yeah.
It's just so hard to know where you got it. I mean, I have no idea where I got it. I never went anywhere except for, you know, I wore literally plastic gloves to Target. I went to Target and Costco and Home, and it could have been when I was moving. But that was one of the most frustrating things is that every time I talk to someone, where do you think you got it? I don't know, because then you feel like there's blame being placed on you, and it's just icky.
We're still in the shame.
shame.
I cited you as a an example, and I didn't use your name or even mention that you were a fellow employee. But to me, and in my mind, you and you alone were the most careful person in my circle.
Yeah,
you were going above and beyond and really, really taking this seriously. The only one that was more serious is Lex, and she's locked inside of her house.
That's true.
Literally. Yeah.
But I mean, you were being very, very careful, and you got it.
The only thing I can think of is that I was moving the week before, and I was in the elevator a lot. And I saw people in my apartment building not wearing masks coming out of the elevator. They're supposed to be, but I had a mask on the whole time.
Right.
But, you know, it's just hanging around in there, the air.
The weird thing, too, is there are a lot of people that are testing positive now that had no idea.
Yeah.
And a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. My daughter's 22.
Oh, I know a guy who wrote us a letter who said he was gassing up like a snowblower, and he realized he couldn't smell the gas. So he put gas in a rag, put it right up to his face, couldn't smell the gas at all. So he went in, got the test. He had it, but that was the only symptom he had, and he didn't suffer at all.
Yeah.
He lost his sense of smell. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, it's a very common story, and it's changing the way that we're doing Thanksgiving.
And we got to make those sacrifices. I hope no one out there is listening going, oh, well, poor you. People are dying. I get it. Yeah. I mean,
yes.
I will see my family sometime in the next 5 years.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
But I mean, we don't have to. That's, I guess, one thing I want to say. Like, everybody's experiences are different.
Yeah.
If you've lost a loved one, we, of course, feel terrible for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that you and your family can find peace and at some point, because it's horrible.
Devastating.
But I also have room in my heart for the people that have been sick. And I just heard of a case the other day where a kid came home from college, didn't know he had it, and his dad's in the ICU.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that is just a tragedy.
Mm.
And you feel bad for them, too.
Sure.
And I also feel bad. I'm just going to say it out loud. And, I don't mean to be political, but whatever. I feel bad for people like Paul Gazelka and those people. I didn't feel bad at first. I was kind of mad that they got infected and didn't tell anybody. But I guess I feel like it's really time for everybody to examine that this is a virus that your choices impact others around you.
Right.
And so I feel bad that we've made it so acrimonious, so political, so whatever. Let's just stop doing that. And I'm going to start doing that on my end by having grace for people that you can make a different choice now.
Yes.
You can decide right now. You know what? I didn't know then. It didn't seem that bad then. But it is bad now. And I'm going to make a different choice. And we can all mask up. And we can find the grace in our hearts for people that have lost people. And hope that we can nip this in the bud and help our healthcare workers. Help people that are going to lose family members. We can just make that choice today.
All right.
So let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go to a commercial break.
Let's do it. When I hear you two, I have real thoughts, you guys, because the lobster and I have had an ongoing fight.
Oh!
That involves Bono and you two.
Okay.
And I would just like to share and get your input.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, here's the fight. Is there a band that, like, or what are the bands that are seminal, that stretch boundaries, stretch genres, and just like it makes them a super well-rounded, incredible rock scene band, like the Rolling Stones. I mean, the Rolling Stones are just fantastic for lots of reasons. Did country, did psychedelic, did rock and roll, have
disco.
Just done so many genres of music and continue to reinvent themselves. I think that U2 has also done that over the course of their career. And my husband's just like, you're insane.
Oh,
they have not.
No.
They are no ones.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so we fight about this.
I mean,
are they reinventing themselves or are they just following the fads? Because that's what I've always felt with the Rolling Stones and all the genres they've dipped their toes into.
Okay, yeah, you could say they're following a fad,
sure.
But to follow that fad, you have to have the talent to figure out how to interpret your music into being the fad, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Bruce Springsteen.
No, he doesn't count anything for me. He's reinvented himself a million times. As much as I disrespect Bruce, he's got a brand new song out that I heard on the radio up north, and I had to go crank it. It was a real rocker, and I was really impressed with that crusty, complaining, whining, preaching old man.
Yeah.
Maybe Bruce still has it, and
I don't have to hate him
as much as I do.
That's so funny. But so he's someone that you would say has reinvented himself. If he's got a song right now, and he did like a whole Irish Celtic record that was fantastic.
Nah, it was all right. I don't think it was fantastic, but yeah, you know.
I loved that record.
Might have been a bit of a swing and a miss, but okay.
Santa Claus is coming to town. I mean, come on.
Give me a break.
So yeah, Kurt and I fight about, this is what we do during our quarantine time. We fight about couches and bands.
Music fights are fun, though. They're great because nobody's wrong, you know.
I guess, you know what I mean? Unless you're the lobster, and you're arguing with me, then you're wrong because I've got to be right. It's not like we can both be right.
It's right for him and it's right for you. It's fun. John Hite and I, that's all we do is argue music, and it's great fun.
He's a good person to argue music with because he's brilliant.
Because he's wrong all the time. He's wrong about everything, and it's just so fun to argue with him and tell him how wrong he is. And it's not politics. As long as it's not politics, it's fun.
Right. What about Coldplay? Do you think like Coldplay, and they're only at the halfway mark of their career in terms of like longevity, like the Rolling Stones are. But I mean, you could say they could get there.
Yeah,
anyone?
You could say that, but no, I would never say that. I don't care about
that. I kind of lived in one genre for 15 years, so it's hard for me to make comments on other, because I just don't know. I was surrounded just by rhythmic top 40 music. Which is
fun.
Yeah, that's like hip hop and you know, but that's it. I have no knowledge of other.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very, you know, I was very set into that whole world. So it's really just pop music and hip hop music.
I am one of those people that hear lots of different music, and I worked in a 50s bar. So all those 1950s songs, I know them all by heart. I know the words to every song.
Oh, gosh. I have a very poor memory as to what artist is. I'm terrible at music quizzes.
I'm good at it's a weird savant-y thing that I can do that I don't even understand why I can. And I couldn't tell you the words, but I can sing them. And when I'm singing the song, I can sing the entire thing. Like Rapper's Delight, I can sing every single word of that song.
Oh, my gosh. Hip, that's hippity actually, hop, hop, actually a
that's
great
right.
skill.
Here
comes that's the money right, rabbit. Kenny. Hip hop, hippity hop, hop. Do you like Tom Waits?
I do, but he grates on my last nerve. But I respect him as an artist.
Oh.
The One from the Heart is the Lobster's favorite movie and favorite record, which is Tom Waits and Crystal Gayle. But Tom Waits over the years, like he's had a few too many heaters, I think.
Oh.
I like Nick Lowe, though, and he's had a lot of, sounds like he's always had a few cigarettes, too, but,
you know. Yeah, but he's not good. Lowe is good, but he's no Tom Waits. Come on.
Oh, Kenny. All right. This is a fight we could have.
Yes. It's
we've
fun.
We've got a lot more. We've got Best of Passing Notes. We've got some TV talk coming up. You're listening to the Jason and Alexis Show. I'm Stephanie Hansen here with Kenny and Dawn. Jason and Lex are out today, but they'll be back Monday, and we'll be back.
That you're gone away. It's a beautiful day.